Today, the U.S. House of Representatives officially voted to overturn broadband privacy rules that the FCC approved late last year. The vote was 215 to 205 for rules that would have protected our ISP when our protected us when our ISP wanted to sell all of our data. Joining us to talk about what we can do now is Ian Thompson from The Register. Welcome back to the show, Ian.
Always a pleasure, Megan.
I know, even with bad news, it's still good to see
you. Yeah, I know. We've been livid about this all day in the office. It's an utterly stupid law, which benefits no one apart from the telcos. Now, you can understand sort of exchanging a certain amount of private information to be sold adverts for something like Facebook or even Gmail, because, you know, you're only showing them a limited subset of what you're doing online, and in return, you're getting a service like Facebook or you're getting free webmail or whatever. But what this does is take the entire thing, hand it straight over to the telcos so they can sell it for fun and profit. We're going to see those super cookies coming back on the phones that you can't possibly delete. You may see search engine redirection as well. It's basically a grab bag of everything the telecoms industry has wanted, and it serves no useful purpose other than to pad their bottom line.
So the privacy rules that never went into effect, the ones that were passed at the very end of the Obama administration, so is anything going to change for us now?
The privacy rules that went in there didn't actually come into effect, but they were sort of, the telcos were preparing for them. But there were strict rules about what could and couldn't be sold on to advertisers. This basically blasts the whole thing away. The only people now who can actually bring in rules, as I understand it, is the FTC, and they have no interest in doing so. So it's open season on your browsing history and what you get up to online. It does appear at this stage as though basically ISPs have been given complete free rein and told go at it.
So they can collect anything. I mean, what are some examples of those things that they can collect?
Every domain that you visit online, how long you stay on there, how far you drill down into the site. It's going to be a little bit trickier with HTTPS sites, but even then there's ways to hack around that. The super cookies on your mobile, which you can't delete and which track everything you do on your mobile, those two look like they're now legal and are likely to be introduced. Verizon's a big fan of those. Basically, absolutely everything that goes through your internet pipe can now be stored and sold on to whoever's got the money and the telcos feel like dealing with. Now, from the discussions I've had with, I had a chat with the CEO of Sonic yesterday about this, the California ISP. And he's saying it's unlikely that what they'll do is sell an individual's browser history to an advertiser, partly because it would be commercial side, but also because that's a level of depth that most advertising agencies don't want. What they will want is say, right, we want people within the 18 to 45 age group who spend at least 4 hours online, who have been looking at cars or car websites in the last week. And then they'll be able to push advertising out to that. And in fact, the ISP can inject their own adverts into what you're watching. And in some cases, as we've seen in the past, if you do a search for something, they will redirect you to a third-party website who has paid them to redirect them to you and work through their search engine rather than one you actually picked, which is a wee bit peeving. Let's just say that.
Ian, I wonder if you might have some insight as to the differences in the sort of things that are going to be actively placed on our devices, like super cookies, and between maybe, say, like Android, which seems to be kind of the wild, wild west of customization from hardware makers and telecommunications companies, versus, say, Apple and the iPhone and iOS devices, which is a lot more controlled and seems to be less friendly to outside companies installing their software on the device. I mean, now what an ISP collects as you're doing that surfing, that's a different issue. But this sort of software and advertisements and cookies that will track you and are being installed on your devices without you knowing it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the case of super cookies, then they are part of the network infrastructure of your cellular provider. So even if Apple don't particularly like them, then they're going to have to accept them being on there. What I think you are going to see is device manufacturers getting a lot more picky about what software they allow on their phones in particular, because I think they're aware that if this gets too out of hand, then it's going to hurt them as much as it hurts the ISPs. ISPs, I think it depends very much on territories they're going to put this in. Over half of Americans don't have a choice as to where they get their internet, their high-speed internet, 25 megabits or above. They'll only have one provider who can provide that within their region, which is almost cartel-like, but that would be a terrible thing to assert on a broadcast interview like this. But in terms of sort of individual device manufacturers, you know, when you sell a device that's connected to, say, a cellular network, the cellular provider usually insists on having some software on there. And that's where this is going to sneak in.
So you mentioned Dane Jasper, the CEO of Sonic. And that's a local company. Dane's been on the Twit Network a few times. And he, I just signed up for Sonic. I had Comcast and people warned me, like, maybe the speed isn't so great. But I said, this is something that I trust. I want to try it. So does that mean that... does he say that he'll never do this? Or did he say that, you know, he just doesn't? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, will it be economically unfeasible at some point for him not to sell my data?
Well, this is the big worry. I was speaking to Bruce Schneier about this yesterday, and he basically said that American corporations, it's always a race to the bottom. And if you've got a revenue stream and you're not actually using it, then shareholders at some point are going to demand that you do. I mean, I'm a Sonic customer as well, and Dane was very clear that this is not something that he wanted to get involved in. He's written an open letter to Congress about it. He's written articles decrying this. He's lobbied hard against it. I think, to be honest, there will be holdouts who won't take part in this, and it will be the smaller ISPs because that gives them a very useful selling point. You know, at the moment, AT&T will stop using your data. You know, you can get off the AT&T data collection route if you pay an extra $30 a month. Now, if an ISP can say, we're not going to touch your data, we're not going to charge you not to touch your data, that's a significant selling point. And I think, to be honest, those smaller ISPs that don't do that are going to see a real competitive boost, because once people realize what's going on, and if these ads get very intrusive, then it's going to be a very good reason to switch ISPs if you can. The problem is, for the vast amount of the country, you just genuinely can't. You're very limited in terms of what ISP you can get because the market has been rigged to be so anti-competitive.
Do you think we could see a sort of situation where there could be different tiers, like an extra private tier from a major corporation that is amassing this data? Because clearly there's going to be pressure from shareholders and things like that to build this business. And this is a business that already exists and obviously one that these companies want to grow, albeit at their customers' expense. Do you hear any rumblings of the sort of situation where we might have to pay a company to not share our data?
I think that's very likely indeed. I mentioned the AT&T example. I can see as this comes through, then the larger ISPs will say, well, okay, there's obviously a demand out there for people not to have their data mined by advertisers. So we'll give you that opportunity, but you will have to pay for it. And based on the examples we've got at the moment, you'll have to pay really quite significantly for it. So this is where I think the smaller ISPs who may not charge for that could gain a significant advantage. But if you're stuck with the one ISP, yeah, I think a little way down the line, they may well do this. It's an extra revenue stream for them after all. I think what will happen is they'll see how much revenue they can generate from this. And then price out those plans accordingly and then say that they're reacting to customer demand.
Mm, more of like privacy being a privilege only allotted to a few.
Oh, yes. Yes, privacy is a privilege that you pay for. And if you can't pay, then open season on everything you do online. And bear in mind also that, you know, it's all about who they're selling this data to. And they don't have to tell you who they're selling the data to. They don't have to tell you how much they're charging for it, so you can't get an idea of what a reasonable cost would be. Basically, the House and Senate have handed them a massive revenue-generating opportunity, which has no real benefit for us unless you count getting highly targeted adverts as some kind of a benefit rather than an annoyance.
So you say one solution is for people to use Tor, but that comes with its whole host of problems. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, certainly. I mean, a lot of websites, particularly those that rely on selling adverts to people on their sites, aren't particularly fond of Tor for obvious reasons. So they may doubt. We've had a study last year which showed a lot of these sites are actually downgrading Tor users in terms of performance. We've also got CDN networks like Cloudflare who have a horrible relationship with Tor. They don't like it at all. And there have been various sort of Tor users have been either been kicked off or forced to do endless captures in order to prove they're not a robot. And bear in mind also with Tor, you've got to make sure that you are patched at all times because there are frequent patches going out there because everyone's trying to crack it. And so it's there's a considerable amount of upkeep involved. And also, to be quite frank, I mean, the test I use for this is, could I get my mother to use it? And if I went in and set it up for her and explained to her exactly how to do it, I'm pretty sure she could use it, but I'd be getting tech support calls every 2 to 3 weeks. So whether or not this is useful to the average person on the street, I'm iffy about. I mean, if you're listening to Twit, then you're obviously tech savvy, so you know what's going on, and it's not that hard to set up if you're using Mac OS or Windows. If you're using Chrome OS, then Tor is a real bugger to set up because you've got to sort of futz about with the operating system and download all these different things and run things through proxies. And it's, yeah, for Chromebook users, it's going to be a real pain in the backside.
So full disclosure, Cloudflare, who you mentioned, is a sponsor, and Sonic, who I mentioned, is also a sponsor. Do you have a question, Nate?
Yeah, I got a couple more. Ian, I wonder, how will this impact MVNOs, those smaller operators that are piggybacking and leasing off of the likes of AT&T and Verizon?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. It depends entirely on the contract that they have with the pipe provider. A lot of pipe providers at the moment have contracts which don't specify this. But what I suspect is when contract renewal comes up, they're going to find a few more clauses stuck in the boilerplate there, which will basically give either they share their rights to the marketing information or it all goes back to the main pipe supplier. So, I mean, in the case of sort of one ISP I spoke to, they have a clear contract which doesn't allow the pipe provider this kind of information. But, you know, as contracts get renewed, this is going to come up. It's going to be a sticking point. And if smaller companies insist on keeping their users' data private, then they may see cost increases in the cost of the actual pipe being supplied to them.
Is there any sort of thing that ISPs could be using this data for that they are already collecting and now will be able to collect more of on us for anything other than marketing?
Well, that's the big question. And under this law as it stands, then there are no restrictions on what they can use it for. Obviously, if they use it to break the law in some way, then they're going to be liable for that. But they can sell it on to third parties, which would include the government. I mean, the government already pays companies for data for use for surveillance purposes and for national security monitoring and that sort of thing. So it's really up to the ISPs, and it comes down to how much you trust them. And if you ask the average user of a certain internet provider beginning with C, maybe, then the trust levels are somewhere down near hell. But if you've got a good internet provider who you actually trust, then you know maybe you can decide that you're okay with that. The old argument, you've done nothing wrong, you've done nothing to fear, which is a bit of a fallacious one, but still a lot of people seem to feel that way. You know, it all comes down to how much you trust your ISP and how much you trust them to play fair with your data. But at the moment, there are no restrictions as to who it can be sold to. So, yes, it's very much, at the moment, we're going to have to see what the ISPs do with this. And if they're smart, they'll do it very softly and very gently and sort of develop this business slowly. If they're dumb, they'll go in with both feet and they're going to irritate an awful lot of users, particularly with things like search redirect.
Now, we've been talking a lot about ISPs because that's what this specific rollback of these rules applies to. But I do wonder, will this have ramifications for anyone other than ISPs? I'm particularly thinking about hardware device makers. Vizio had a multi-million dollar settlement not that long ago with the FTC, as you mentioned, that does police some data collection in similar circumstances. In Vizio's case, they were fined for not asking for permission first. And this rollback gives the ISPs the ability to collect this without having to ask permission. So what about those TV makers, the smart refrigerator makers, the smart speaker makers, the smart light makers, like all of these other companies that have these devices in our homes that are connecting to the internet?
Oh, indeed, yeah. I mean, and Vizio's point, as you correctly pointed out, is that they didn't put that in terms and conditions. And I think now what we're going to see is a rewriting of contracts so that this sort of data collection is built into the contract and companies are covered in that regard. But bear in mind also that at the end of the day, all that data, they can collect that data if they want, but the ISP is still going to get it as well. And I think it's going to be very unlikely that device manufacturers will be able to say to internet service providers, our data is our own, you don't use it, you don't collect it, you don't store it. So that's going to be a bun fight between the hardware manufacturers and the ISPs. I do think this is going to be, it has obviously enormous relevance in the case of Internet of Things devices in the home, because people get very, very twitchy about that, as we saw with the Google Voice pumping out ads thing. If you had, you know, a device like an Amazon Echo or a Google Home device, and the data that that was collecting and sending back to the servers also became the property of the ISPs, then I suggest those products would probably become a lot less attractive to an awful lot more people. After all, nobody wants someone listening in the house constantly and relaying that data to an advertising agency so you can get the advert for the latest drug or suppository or, you know, whatever it is they decide to flog that day.
Or whatever. Thank you, Ian. It is always a pleasure to talk to you. Ian is a reporter at The Register. Go to theregister.co.uk. He's got stories about the LastPass security issues, the Microsoft security issues, many other interesting things full of colorful language that I love to read. And he is at Ian Thompson on Twitter. Thanks so much.